Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company.
Training camp, and he's definitely got the inside track. Word is that they're having some problems with injuries.
Really? And are they looking into free agent signings last second, anything like that? Or?
Possibly, and they've got a strong farm club, too. They've got some AAA ball players they might be bringing up. But again, Peter would certainly be able to tell us a little more about that in the next half hour.
Who do you like?
Well, I'm telling you, so far, I like what I'm seeing in New York. They've got a strong ball club, as usual. That's in the American. And in the National, I'm still liking Chicago with a little bit of a twist here for Los Angeles.
Okay, so we're looking at New York, Chicago, World Series possible, Los Angeles. You've got it here. Hey, hold him to it at the end of the season. That's going to do it for us from the sports desk right now. Back to you guys in the studio. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for nothing, Eddie.
Thank you, guys. That's not all we're following. Here's Karen at the health desk.
The world of medicine has seen its share of miracle cures, from the polio vaccine to heart transplants, but all past achievements may pale in comparison to the work of Dr. Alice Crippen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Not at all.
So, Dr. Crippen, give it to me in a nutshell.
Well, the premise is quite simple. Take something designed by nature and reprogram it to make it work for the body rather than against it.
You're talking about a virus?
Indeed, yes, in this case, the measles virus, which has been engineered at a genetic level to be helpful rather than harmful. And I find the best way to describe it is if you can imagine your body as a highway and you picture the virus as a very fast car being driven by a very bad man, imagine the damage that car could cause. Mm. But then if you replace that man with a cop, the picture changes, and that's essentially what we've done.
How many people have you treated so far?
Well, we've had 10,009 clinical trials in humans so far.
And how many are cancer-free?
10,009.
So you have actually cured cancer?
Yes, yes. Yes, we have.
She smiles confidently. 3 years later, a partially submerged freeway. Vehicles are abandoned on side roads. Behind it, the skyscrapers of New York, a mass of glass and concrete, rise into a pale blue sky. The streets are deserted. A large bird flies past the triangular Flatiron building. The dark, glass-fronted block of the United Nations building looms. Trees thick with leaves line boulevards. Vegetation grows out of the tarmac on the empty streets. Bright sunlight floods through the chasm between lines of skyscrapers. A sign below a round canopy on a plaza reads, Union Square Subway. Manhattan's grid is lifeless. A single car, a red Ford Mustang, speeds down the middle of a street. The driver is a handsome black guy with chiseled features and cropped hair, Robert Neville. He looks around keenly as he steers with his left hand and holds a high-tech automatic rifle with his right. On the seat beside him is his Alsatian Sam, who peers out of the passenger window as the car cuts through a flock of birds. The road ahead is blocked by army trucks and tanks. Robert takes a sharp left turn. A tank has been covered in posters. God still loves us. Robert drives on past lines of abandoned vehicles. He speeds between scaffolding poles at the side of a building clad in plastic sheeting. He glances at Sam, who looks ahead keenly.
What'd you see?
Several deer run in front of the car and Robert swerves. The car spins into a line of bollards. Robert shifts gears and drives through a park, pursuing the deer. Deer leap over a fence and disperse. Robert drives out of the park and down a street, following the deer who race on ahead. Robert aims his rifle out of the window at deer running along the pavement. They escape down a slope leading to an underpass. Robert heads on along the tarmac street with patches of grass growing through it. The deer emerge from the other end of the underpass and he drives after them. The deer collide with parked cars as they run round a corner. Robert drives after them. He stops at a road completely blocked with cars. Christmas decorations hang across the road. Robert strokes Sam. In Times Square, Robert walks through waist-height wild grass, rifle in hand, Sam at his side. He keeps his gun poised as he stalks through the tall grass. He squats down, stills Sam with his hand, and takes aim. He aims his gun with a telescopic sight at a deer. The deer disappears behind a stairway. Robert frowns and lowers his weapon. He emerges from the grass, jogs across some concrete, and walks by a wall beside the wide stairway. He reaches the end of the wall and, peering through the dirty windows of an abandoned car, he spots the deer. He squats down. Robert slowly creeps forward and peers round the back of the vehicle. The pale brown antlered beast feeds on a patch of grass. Its ears twitch and it swishes its tail. A lioness pounces, sinking its teeth into the deer's neck and dragging it down. Robert keeps his rifle aimed as the lioness feasts. The deer's legs flail and twitch. Robert looks on, frowning. A lion strolls over, accompanied by two cubs. The lioness keeps its jaws clamped around the deer's throat. The deer no longer moves. Robert slowly lowers his gun. He looks at his watch. It's just gone 5:20. Robert glances round at the bright evening sun, then back at the lioness as it drags the deer away.
Let's go, Sam. Come
on. They walk back to the car. I Am Legend. The monumental Italianate Washington Arch is bathed in honey-coloured evening light. Robert parks his 4x4 nearby. He opens the back door, slings a bag over his shoulder, and grabs a box and a bottle. He walks up stone steps to a large house, squirting liquid from the bottle onto the steps as he goes. He opens the front door and lets Sam into the building as he douses the top step and looks around. Across the street is lush parkland. Robert grabs the box, backs into the hall, and shuts the door. Generators sit on the floor of a pantry crammed with food. Robert takes a jar of sauce into the kitchen, shutting the doors behind him. He pours the sauce onto a plate of vegetables for Sam. A TV plays on a cabinet.
Looking great, I'll tell you. I mean, it not only was this, you know, the biggest snowstorm in New York City history, it had to be one of the prettiest. Imagine waking up on Sunday morning with 26.9 inches of snow in New York City.
Here you go, just the way you like it. Disgusting. Excuse me.
All right. Relax.
Stuck on the fridge door is a cover from Time magazine. A caption next to a photo of Robert reads, Savior? Robert puts Sam's plate on the floor and Sam has a sniff. Robert sits at a table eating a plate of food and watching a recording of the news on the TV.
We had 16 inches of snow, Matt. Back to you, Matt and Katie.
Gosh. All right, it looks great. It'll be beautiful for the next day at least. And it turns brown.
It's that. Yeah. Anyway, Ann, thanks so much. Let's get
No. Eat your vegetables. Don't just push them around. Eat them. I'm not playing.
Good morning, Katie. The storm walloped the East Coast.
Okay. You're going to eat your vegetables. We will sit down here all night.
Robert gives Sam a soapy bath.
What are you whining about? Why didn't you just eat your vegetables? Hey, all right, here's the deal. Look. You're going to eat twice as many vegetables tomorrow night. All right? Deal?
Sitting on the edge of the bath with his feet in the water, Robert holds Sam's head in his hands. He turns on some music and continues to soap Sam.
about a thing. Gonna be all right. And it feels good.
He uses the shower to wash off the soap. Sam shakes herself. Robert holds the shower head to one side. Sam looks up at him as he furrows his brow anxiously. Robert's eyelids droop, and he stares into space woozily, as if in a trance. Robert comes round and turns off the water. He looks out of the large bathroom window. The golden setting sun reflects on the glass. He pulls shutters across. Robert pulls similar heavy metal shutters across the living room window. The room is plunged into darkness. He closes shutters in a child's bedroom and turns a large latch to secure them. He secures the front door and draws shutters across the rest of the windows. Cradling his rifle, Robert lies curled up with Sam in the empty bath, which stands in the middle of the bathroom. Sam's ears prick up and Robert frowns heavily. Flashback. Robert, in uniform, gets out of an SUV and runs to his wife and daughter. Two soldiers watch.
Robert, what is happening? I've been trying to reach you in the cell. I just keep getting a recording.
So, Daddy, where are we going?
Can't get used to the new regs.
You're going to Aunt Sarah's.
What? No! Why?
Babe, just strap yourself in. Go.
We're at 30 minutes, Colonel.
Copy.
30 minutes to what?
They're sailing off the island.
He drives them away. His wife, Zoe, sits beside him. His daughter, Marley, is in the back with puppy, Sam.
Seal off the island. This island?
But I don't want to go to Aunt Sarah.
Did you bring all the money?
Yeah.
How much?
$600. Why did you say you're going?
It's not enough.
Robert, you said you're going, not we're going.
All right, when you get across, I need you to get to the ATM. Get as much cash
it's
as you can get.
It's not even summer, you know.
Take Sarah's car, go upstate. I'll meet you at the farm. Bring enough food for 2 weeks.
Jesus, Robert, did it jump? Is it airborne?
But we only go to Aunt Sarah's in the summer.
It may be.
Oh, my God.
It's Christmas. What about my presents?
He's announcing.
Make no mistake, my fellow Americans.
You left my Christmas presents in the closet.
This mutated
virus is a lethal enemy. Hush now, Mark.
It threatens the survival of not only our nation, but of every other nation.
Mommy,
on the
look,
planet.
It's a butterfly.
Marley, enough.
So it is with great sadness, but even greater resolve, that tonight I have signed an executive order initiating a military quarantine of New York City. God be with us.
This has been a special...
The window is still open. We find something in a week or 2 weeks, we can reverse the spread. I can still fix this.
Please. You can do the same work outside the city.
This is ground zero. This is my site. We talked about this.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm not gonna let this happen.
Let? This isn't up to you. You can't.
A man's face hits the window. Robert wakes up in bed with Sam beside him. An automatic pistol sits on the bedside table. Sam licks his face. Robert turns off his watch alarm.
I'll just sleep.
Robert does pull-ups on a bar hanging from an archway between rooms, his taut, muscular chest and arms exposed. He jumps down. Pictures of Robert's family sit in a cabinet in a room where he runs on a running machine. Sam runs on a similar machine beside him. Robert follows Sam downstairs into the hallway.
Come on, you know better than that.
He opens a door.
I'll be back.
Sam sits and Robert goes through the doorway, closing the door behind him. He goes downstairs into the cellar. Robert puts on a white lab coat and washes his hands. He turns on the lights in a large laboratory and goes to a computer on a bench. Robert's face appears on screen via a webcam.
Dr. Robert Neville, September 5th, 2012, GA Series Serum 391, Animal Trials, streaming video.
Wearing latex gloves, he flicks a switch. The main lab lights go out, replaced by paler lights. He puts on spectacles, looks at a large object covered in a dark sheet and sighs. He pulls down the sheet, revealing rows of glass tanks. Careless grey rats with red eyes throw themselves against the glass.
GA Series results appear typical.
He touches the glass and a rat attacks, gnashing its teeth.
Compounds 1, 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 14, 16, 18 did not kill the virus. Compounds 2, 5, 7, 12, 13, 15, 17 all killed the host.
Some of the rats lie dead. Robert notices something.
Hold on a second.
He peers at a rat that snuffles around normally. Its skin is less gray than the others.
Compound 6 appears to be showing decreased aggression response. Partial pigmentation return.
He shines a torch.
Slight pupil constriction. GA Series Serum 391, Compound 6. Next candidate for human trials. Hang in there, number 6.
Wearing boots, jeans, and a dark jacket, Robert walks down the hall with a laptop computer under his arm. He opens a cupboard stacked with tools and guns. He stuffs the laptop in a bag. He grabs a ball and holds it out for Sam. Robert grabs his rifle, shuts the cupboard, and opens the front door. Sam scampers down the steps. Robert steps outside. It's a bright, sunny day. Robert shuts the door and surveys the street. He sits in a 4x4 with a roof rack stacked with equipment. He opens the passenger window for Sam, who's sitting at his side.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Robert drives the dusty black vehicle down a tree-lined street with weeds growing out of the tarmac. He pulls up in front of a glass-fronted store on the corner of a block. As he goes to unlock the doors, Robert glances at two shop mannequins standing on the pavement.
Hey! Morning, Marge. Morning, Fred. You guys down here so early. It's a nice sweatshirt there, Fred. Don't set it down anywhere.
He opens up and lets Sam run in.
I'll see you guys inside.
He walks in. It's a video store. He waves to more mannequins.
What's happened, brother?
He walks past a couple of female mannequins and goes to a shelf. He takes a DVD from his bag and slots it onto the shelf. Robert pulls out the next DVD along and looks at the cover. He glances down the aisle at a smartly dressed female mannequin with black bobbed hair. He keeps glancing between the mannequin and the DVD and starts to smile. With a slightly coy look, Robert takes the DVD to a counter where a mannequin wearing a denim jacket and baseball cap sits.
Good morning, Hank. Midway through the G's.
He glances back at the female mannequin.
Hey, who's the girl? Never mind. Hey, I'll see you in the morning.
Robert walks out. Later, he tramps through maize growing in Central Park with Sam.
What am I supposed to say? Hello.
Want to see some infected rats?
As Robert pulls off a cob, Sam looks up at a butterfly.
Okay, tomorrow. I'm going to say hello tomorrow.
Robert studies a street map laid on the bonnet of his 4x4. The map is covered in circled red crosses. He puts a cross in a circle between Beach Street and North Moor Street, then folds up the map and walks towards an apartment building. Robert kicks open the door to an apartment and follows Sam in, rifle at the ready. Robert goes and leans down to Sam.
Hey, good job. You did so good. Yes, yes.
Sam trots along the pinewood floor into the living room. Robert looks at a couple of framed life drawings on the wall. He walks through, looking around as he goes. He checks out a storm lantern. Light floods through curtains at three windows. Robert rips down a pair of curtains. Sam settles down on a couch. A coffee table is covered in bottles. Robert picks up some pills and looks at them. He looks through the other bottles. Robert rips down another pair of curtains. He goes into the kitchen area and looks through the cupboards. A newspaper cutting on a cupboard door reads, "Infected dogs can come out at dusk, stay in the light." Sam puts her front paws up onto the edge of the sink.
Ah.
Robert shows a couple of tins to Sam.
Look at that. See that? Red salmon? Wow. Actual spam. Yeah. All right. You'll get some of that later.
Robert walks past a worktop covered in water bottles. He picks up a bottle of orange liquid and puts it in his bag. He looks at a pile of CDs and picks one up. He glances round. Standing by a bookcase is a Christmas tree decked out in tinsel and decorations.
Let's go.
They walk down the hall. Robert stops to peer down a corridor. He walks towards a doorway and cautiously peers into a room in which there is something covered in a large white canopy. He walks over to a door with a large red ribbon and a card stuck to it. Written on the card is, "For Lucy, do not open until Christmas. Love, Teddy." Robert pushes the door open. Inside is a child's bedroom with two cots and colourful toys everywhere. Robert gazes at them sadly. At a gas station, he fills a can with petrol. He drives through town.
My name is Robert Neville. I'm a survivor living in New York City. I am broadcasting on all AM frequencies. I will be at the South Street Seaport every day at midday, when the sun is highest in the sky.
He drives onto a jetty.
If you are out there, if anyone is out there, I can provide food, I can provide shelter, I can provide security. If there's anybody out there, anybody, please, you are not alone.
He hits a golf ball with a club. The bridges connecting Manhattan to the mainland have all been severed. Lying in dock is a vast aircraft carrier, the USS Intrepid. Robert stands on the wing of an A-10 Blackbird fighter jet and tees off towards the city. Sam sits on the wing beside him.
Yeah.
Robert lines up another shot.
Keep your eye on this one for me.
The ball lands in a car park.
I'm getting good.
Suddenly alert, Sam gets up and peers off the edge of the wing. Robert picks up his rifle and looks through the sights. He sees a deer walking between a line of cars. A crashed helicopter lies on its side in rubble on a rooftop. Robert runs between the cars on a street, pursuing the deer. He leaps onto the rooftop of a cab and aims. He looks at Sam. Sam runs after the deer, and Robert follows. The deer runs into a dilapidated building and goes through a doorway. Sam follows. Robert aims through the doorway. He shines his rifle light into a dark warehouse and enters. He shines the light from side to side. He creeps through the dark space. Robert finds an open doorway and shines the light into a filthy bathroom. The light reflects in a mirror and he ducks, then moves on. Robert recoils fearfully and shines his light around. Sweat glistens on his face. He repeatedly covers and uncovers the light on his rifle with his hand as he slowly moves forward. The light falls on a metal latticed screen like a cell door. Robert moves through an opening, his face full of fear. Apart from the light from the torch on Robert's rifle, the space is pitch black. He shines the beam on a puddle of red liquid on the ground. Robert shines the light on stairs, which are also stained red. He walks up the stairs. Water drips from above. He reaches the top and shines his light along the landing. On the ground, a deer's nose pokes round a corner. Robert approaches the dead deer, which lies in a corridor. Robert creeps along the corridor with his rifle poised. He shines the light on the ground. It's covered in banknotes. He puts his hand over the light for a moment. Robert shines the light on a steel safe door with a spoked wheel attached to it. He turns. His light glances across a group of figures standing in a circle facing inwards. They're naked from the waist up. Their skin is a mottled grey-brown colour. They nod their bald heads. Shaking with fear, Robert slowly steps backwards across the carpet of banknotes. He moves into a cavernous warehouse space. Robert frantically shines his light around in the gloom. He spots Sam hiding under an old desk and goes to her. Sam cowers. Robert slowly turns and shines his light on one of the infected feasting on the deer. The infected male pounces. Robert shoots. Robert and Sam run through the building. Robert Robert crashes through a window with several of the infected clawing at him. He lands in the road on top of an infected man. Robert watches as the emaciated, zombie-like creature flails his arms and legs and batters his head against the ground as he expires. Robert stands and looks up at the jagged hole in the large window. Robert nail guns a nail into the warehouse floor and hooks a clip with a cable attached over it. He lays out a black sheet, then threads the cable through an eyelet and throws it up onto a bridge. Robert pushes a trailer through a gap on the bridge and it drops, pulling the cable taut. By the 4x4, Robert sprays the clear liquid over his jacket. Sam's sitting in the 4x4.
Gotta pay attention, okay? Gotta pay attention. Listen, I want you to stay here on this one, okay?
He sticks a syringe in his arm.
Because you can still get infected. And I can't.
He draws blood into the syringe. Robert puts on his jacket and looks at Sam.
So look, if I'm not back by dark, just go.
He strokes Sam's nose. A long metal contraption sits at an angle beneath the bridge with the cable running from it. Robert walks into the dark warehouse. He rolls a vial containing his blood onto the black sheet and smashes it, so the blood drips through the eyelet with the cable running through it. Under the bridge, Robert stands on the bonnet of a car. He watches the dark ground floor opening that the cable runs out of, rifle at the ready. The cable breaks free. The trailer drops onto a truck, yanking the cable and the black sheet containing one of the infected out of the warehouse. Robert slams his rifle butt into his captive. An infected man lunges out of the doorway, mouth agape. His sallow, diseased face burns in the daylight. He quickly retreats into the dark. Robert stares anxiously. In his lab, Robert takes a tray of small bottles from a shelf and puts them on a table. His captive, a female, lies strapped to a bench. Her vital signs are displayed on a screen at the side.
Okay, subject is female, likely 18 to 20 years of age. Dilated push only sedates effectively a 6x human dose. Core temperature 106 Fahrenheit, pulse 200 BPM, respiration elevated, PaO2, 300% of normal.
He opens her eye and shines a light in. Her eye darts around.
Pupils fully dilated, non-reactive to light.
The female's chest rises and falls rapidly as she breathes. Robert shines a UV light over her skin.
Extreme reaction to UV exposure. Symptoms and tissue samples confirm subject is infected with KV. Vaccine test. GA series serum 391, compound 6. Commencing human trials.
He injects serum into a cannula in her arm. Her chest continues to rise and fall rapidly. She wears a ragged vest top and a wide strap covers her waist. Robert stands by the bench, watching. The woman's chest rises and falls at a slower rate. Robert looks at the screen.
Respiration slowing. Pulse 190. Core temperature 105. 104 and decreasing. We may have something here.
She lunges at Robert, grimacing ferociously, pulling at the straps around her ankles and wrists. She arches her back, mouth agape, then lies still. The readings are zero. Robert shakes his head. Robert gets a syringe and injects the female in the arm. Her mouth gapes and her chest expands. Robert wears a small camera on top of his specs. The image is displayed on his computer. He puts the syringe aside.
GA series serum 391 compound 6. Ineffective on humans.
He shakes his head and angrily shoves the bench he's leaning against. He goes to his computer.
Test results linked to this entry saved on 6 redundant drives. Still no cure.
He takes off his specs and wheels the female on the bench to a chamber at the end of the lab. He slides a glass screen across and secures it. Robert goes to his office and sits in front of a computer.
Day 1001. We came in close contact with a hive today. Blood tests confirm that I remain immune to both the airborne and contact strains. Canines remain immune to airborne strain only.
Robert strokes Sam and turns to her.
Can't go running into the dark, dummy.
Robert's image is on his computer screen.
Vaccine trials continue. I'm still unable to transfer my immunity to infected hosts. Crippen virus is elegant.
Robert stares out from the screen, then lowers his eyes and swivels in his chair.
Just fishing in the dark, son. Behavioral note. An infected male exposed himself to sunlight today. Now, it's possible decreased brain function or growing scarcity of food is causing them to ignore their basic survival instincts. Social de-evolution appears complete. Typical human behavior is now entirely absent.
Robert looks dejected. A flashback to Robert's family in the SUV.
Why are we stopping?
A soldier bangs on their bonnet.
Freeze calls, folks, we hook it. We got less than 10 minutes.
Baby, give me the gun.
Robert and Zoe get out. Zoe lifts Sam out.
Come on, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Daddy! Come on, let's go. It's all
right, come on. Robert lifts Marley.
Keep the colonists down in between us and don't let anyone stop.
Mommy, they have guns.
It's okay, they're in the army like Daddy.
Robert carries Marley and follows Zoe, who carries puppy Sam. People leave their cars in droves.
Let go, let go. Coming through.
Soldiers escort Robert and his family past lines of abandoned cars. Panicking crowds surge forwards. A chopper rises from the jetty at South Street Seaport. The chopper travels low, its whirling blades whipping up a fine spray off the water beside Brooklyn Bridge. Lit bridges span the water like strings of pearls. The surrounding land is dotted with the muted glow of lights. Soldiers stand guard over thousands of panicking people at South Street Seaport. A soldier holds a retinal scanning device up to a woman's face.
You're clear. Overhead.
Now a man.
Clear. I got you. Move up.
All right, step up. You're clear. Next. Let's go. No good.
The person's turned away. Robert forges through and presents himself and Marley for scanning.
Clear.
Clear.
Clear. Good.
Zoe is scanned.
No good. No good.
What? No.
Get your hands off me. I am Lieutenant Colonel Robert Neville. I'm ordering you to scan her again. Scan her again!
Zoe looks anxiously at Robert.
All right, scan her again.
clear. It's clear. Move through.
Yes, sir. That way. Okay.
This is Ranger, 621, we're on site.
A soldier escorts Robert and Marley onto the jetty where a chopper lands. The Nevilles and their puppy Sam head for the chopper. The soldier, Mike, gets in the chopper. Robert puts Marley in. Zoe hands Sam over to Mike, then turns back to Robert and cups his face in her hands. They share a tender, lingering kiss.
Dear Lord, please watch over Roger and keep him strong through the struggles ahead of him. Lord, please just bring him home safely. Amen.
Daddy's gonna make the monsters go away, baby, okay?
Marley hands Sam to Robert. The chopper door is shut. Marley puts her hands against the window and makes a butterfly shape. Robert puts his hands up to hers. Ground crewmen lead Robert away. Clutching Sam to his chest, he ducks out of the way of the chopper blades as he walks. He stops, turns, and waves to his wife and daughter. Zoe holds a crying Marley to her. Sam licks Robert's face, which is streaming with tears. Zoe smiles and blows Robert a kiss. He blows kisses back to her. The chopper takes off. In the present, Robert lies on his bed, his eyes open drowsily. He checks his watch. Robert opens the bedroom shutters.
Dr. Neville will be taking a closer look at the ongoing mutations of Dr. Alice Crippen's once-hailed miracle cure for cancer. So far, almost 5,000 patients treated with her retrofitted virus have begun exhibiting symptoms resembling the early onset of rabies. 25 patients have already died. Dr. Neville has ordered local hospitals to stockpile antiviral drugs and to begin preliminary quarantine protocols.
It's my birthday.
Today, we are fully confident that Dr. Neville can see us through these dark days, end quote.
My name is Robert Neville.
He walks with Sam.
I'm a survivor living in New York City. I am broadcasting on all AM frequencies. I will be at the South Street Seaport every day at midday when the sun is highest in the sky. If you are out there, if anyone is out there, I can provide food, I can provide shelter, I can provide security. If there's anybody out there, anybody, please, you are not alone.
To Sam.
Listen, if you're planning a party or something, just tell me now, okay? Because, you know, I don't like surprises, and I swear I'll act surprised, okay?
Sam licks her lips and stares at Robert, who suddenly looks to his side and notices something. He pulls up and looks up a street to his left. A figure stands at the end. Robert reverses a little way. He turns left and zooms up the street and over a bridge to Grand Central Station, where Fred the mannequin stands outside.
Hey!
Robert's way is blocked by two wrecked cars. He pulls up. Robert gets out and Sam bounds after him. Robert stands about 20 yards from Fred.
What the hell are you doing out here, Fred?
Mannequin Fred wears an orange hoodie.
What the hell are you... No! No! No!
Robert gets his rifle out of the car.
No! What the hell are you doing out here, Fred? How did you get out of here? Fred, if you're real, you better tell me right now.
If you're real, you better tell me right now!
He aims the assault rifle. Peppered with bullet holes, Fred topples backwards into a puddle.
Damn it, Fred! Damn it!
Scowling, Robert paces about. He stops abruptly. Robert's eyes dart around and he looks up. Crouching, he checks about, then aims the gun. Moving round in a circle, he fires at the surrounding buildings. Eyes still fixed on the upper sections of the buildings, Robert scans around once more. Brow furrowed, Robert rubs the back of his head anxiously and moves slowly with Sam towards the felled Fred. Taking a step at a time, Robert treads in the puddle of water. A wrecked cab topples off the bridge, and Robert is hoisted into the air on a rope. The cab lands in the road below the bridge. Robert, who's dropped his rifle, dangles upside down on the end of the rope, which is round one ankle. Sam sits beneath him. A cut Robert sustained when he was hoisted drips from his head into the puddle below him. The image fades into blackness. An agitated Sam paces beneath Robert, who's coming to at the end of the rope. His eyes open blearily, and he looks about. He switches off his wristwatch alarm. Still woozy, Robert checks about him. The setting sun is a fiery golden ball hanging between buildings. Robert dangles from the rope suspended from ironwork. He takes a flick knife from his trouser pocket and opens it. Robert grits his teeth, grasps his thigh and tries to pull himself up to his ankle. He saws feebly at the rope with his knife. He fails to cut the rope and drops back wearily. Robert tries again, clinging onto his right thigh and heaving himself up towards the rope. Teeth gritted and grimacing, Robert saws at the rope again. He drops onto his back in the puddle and his knife plunges into his thigh. Sam licks his face. Robert sits up with a struggle and grasps the snap blade which is embedded in his thigh. Unable to move it, he lets go of the blade and checks about him. Sam licks his face again. Robert looks over his shoulder and sees that the sun at the end of the long street is setting. Wounded in his right leg, Robert drags himself along the ground on his left side. He sits up, puts both hands on the ground and drags himself a little further. He rolls onto his stomach and tries to heave himself up. He falls back down. Sam licks him and sniffs round the wound. Robert sits up and with both palms pressed to the ground, drags himself backwards. The fiery ball of sun sheds a broad band of light on the ground across the front of the station. Robert drags himself away from it, towards his car. Sam stops and looks back towards the station where Fred lies. Sam cocks her head and growls. Somewhere a dog barks. Sam lowers her head and stares towards the station.
Let's go. Come on. Sam, come on.
Inside the dark station, the infected man from the warehouse lets snarling dogs loose. They leap out of a hole in one of the station doors but retreat whimpering from the sunlight.
Let's go, Sam!
The sinewy, hairless dog stands snarling behind the band of light which is cast by the sun. Sam is poised to attack.
No!
No, let's go! We gotta go home, Sam. Let's go!
The band of sunlight is narrowing as the sun dies. A pistol lies in a holster in Robert's car. Robert hurriedly drags himself back towards the car. He struggles to his feet and hobbles to the car. The band of light restraining the baying dogs fades and disappears. A dog attacks Robert, but Sam fends it off. Robert reaches for the pistol. Another dog charges and he shoots. It lands on top of him, twitching. Robert throws it off and turns to fire at a dog fighting with Sam, but another dog leaps on Robert and knocks the pistol from his hand.
No!
Robert wrestles with the dog. Sam barges it away. Robert grabs the gun, rolls over, and shoots it. The dog drops. A bloodied Sam gets up, limps a few steps, then collapses on her side. Robert struggles to his feet and staggers over to her. There's blood round her neck.
It's okay. You're all right. Okay. It's okay. You're all right. You're all right. Samantha. Samantha, look at me, girl. Hey, you're okay. You're okay. Samantha, I just gotta get you home. Gotta get you, gotta take you home. Let me take you home. All right, come here. Come here.
He lifts her. In his laboratory, Robert snatches open the glass door in a steel cabinet and takes out a tray with vials and a syringe on it. He limps over to a workbench where Sam is lying on her side and puts the tray down. Robert picks up the syringe, uncaps it, then feels for a pulse in Sam's neck. Keeping his hand on her neck, Robert stands poised to inject her. He hesitates, then administers the dose. Sam's eyes slowly close.
Come here, come here. I got you. I got you.
Robert lifts her, and leaning with his back against drawers, sinks down onto the floor, cradling her like a baby. Robert lets Sam's hindquarters rest between his outstretched legs and cuddles her head and shoulders to his chest.
Don't worry. About a thing. As every little thing is gonna be alright.
Robert strokes her head. Sam's eyes are half open. Robert looks down at Sam and smiles.
I was up this morning,
as Robert strokes Sam, he looks down and notices a clump of fur has come away in his blood-stained hand. Robert lifts Sam's eyelid. The whites of her eyes are red. He lifts the side of her mouth and checks her teeth. New, fanged-like teeth are appearing. Robert leans his head back against the drawers, his eyes dart around. Fangs bared, Sam lunges at his face and misses. Robert struggles to restrain her, with his arms round her neck. Robert's head shakes and his brow furrows as he applies more and more pressure to Sam. Robert releases the pressure and his eyes fill with tears. He lets go of Sam. Sam rolls off his lap and lies motionless on the laboratory floor. Robert leans his head back against the drawers, stares into space, then looks down at Sam. Robert drives down a wide street which is flanked by tall buildings. Blue sky is ahead. Robert digs a grave. Robert pauses to tip pills from a container into his mouth. He chews the pills and pockets the container. Still chewing the pills, Robert, who has an unkempt, stubbly beard, throws down his spade and stares sadly to his side. In his car, Robert stares miserably at the empty passenger seat as he drives. He turns away and his head slumps forward slightly. His eyes become vacant and drowsy. A wide street stretches a long, long way ahead of Robert's stationary car. The tarmac is partly overgrown with grass, and abandoned cars sit outside shops and dwellings. Robert limps slowly into the video shop. He goes to the shelves which have the adult material on them, and where the smartly dressed female mannequin stands. Drowsy-eyed, he stands nearby, not looking at it as he speaks.
Promise my friend that I would say hello to you today. Hello.
He still doesn't look at it. The mannequin's sightless eyes stare at the shelves.
Hello.
Robert turns slightly towards the mannequin, but still averts his eyes and looks down sadly.
Please say hello to me. Please say hello to me.
His eyes fill with tears, but he still doesn't look at the mannequin. Its cat-like eyes stare blankly at the shelves. Robert turns away despondently. Night. Robert's car speeds down a street, the lamps on the roof shining brightly. Robert stares ahead, brow furrowed as he drives. The waterfront in dim light, a broken bridge juts out over the water in the distance. Clouds hover in the darkening sky. A group of the infected stalk across the South Street seaport. They lumber along towards the edge of the jetty. Their chests bare, they wear combat-like trousers. They rush towards a lone figure at the far end of the jetty. The lights of Robert's 4x4 suddenly come on and he charges towards the infected, knocking them over like ninepins. He cuts a swathe through their ranks, then pulls up, before reversing into a charging infected, pinning him to a post. Robert drives forward and the infected man slumps down the post. Robert charges more of them. The 4x4 spins and its rear wheels skid off the jetty. A rabid infected jumps on the bonnet. He bangs his head against the window. More join him. Their weight pushes down the front of the car. The front wheels get a grip and the vehicle lurches forward. Robert crashes into a lamppost and his airbag deploys. Several infected climb the lamppost. It bends and falls onto the 4x4's roof. Robert struggles to get the vehicle into reverse. As he pulls away from the lamppost, the infected fall off. Another throws himself at the vehicle. The alpha male, the infected man from the warehouse, watches two more sprint into attack and howls. The 4x4 is charged over and ends up on its roof. Robert is trapped inside the vehicle, whose front is over the water. Robert looks to his left and sees the alpha male. The alpha male clambers in and lunges, mouth wide open at Robert. A searing white light shines on the alpha male's face and he immediately retreats. Robert covers his eyes from the dazzling beam. A figure with long hair climbs into the vehicle. The woman frees him from the seatbelt and airbag. Robert, dazed, is in a car. A crucifix hangs from its rearview mirror. The woman turns to him. He comes too.
I love 11 Washington Square. They don't know where I live.
Don't let them track us.
You gotta stay out till dawn.
His head lolls and his eyes close. There's blood on his nose and forehead. As he falls asleep, Robert recalls the evacuation. Clutching Sam the puppy, he turns to face the helicopter and waves. His daughter Marley weeps and rests her head on her mother. Sam licks Robert's light-bearded face. He fights back tears and smiles. His wife blows him a kiss and he responds. He watches as the helicopter takes off. Missiles are fired at the bridges crossing the river and Air Force planes zoom past. Brooklyn Bridge burns, its central span bends, and it crashes into the water. The red helicopter with Robert's wife and daughter hovers. Another chopper with people hanging from its skids spins out of control towards the red helicopter as a hanger-on falls. Robert's eyes open. He's on his sofa. The film Shrek is on the television.
What are you doing?
I would think of all people you would recognize a wall when you see one.
Well, yeah. But the wall's supposed to go around my swamp, not through it.
It is, around your half, see? That's your half and this is my half.
Oh, your half.
He stretches for his watches on the coffee table.
I get half the work, I get half the booty. Now hand me that big old rock. The one that
his trousers are slit and he puts his finger down to his now stitched knife wound.
This is my swamp.
Our swamp.
You handle. Stubborn.
Hearing the sounds from the kitchen, he looks up, then rolls over onto the floor. On his knees, Robert leans on an armchair, then crawls over to a desk. He opens a small drawer.
So you just shut up and pay for this. You are mean to me. You insult me and you don't appreciate anything.
He takes out a handgun, then pushes himself up onto his feet.
Oh, yeah? Well, if I treated you so bad, how come you came back?
He limps through to the kitchen, where his wife in a pink dressing gown is at the counter, and curly-haired Marley sits at the table writing. The woman turns to the stove. As Robert hobbles closer, he sees not his wife and daughter, but a young woman with long dark hair, cooking, and a boy at the table. They both look at him. His eyes flitting from one to the other, he keeps moving closer. His brow is furrowed. The woman faces him. She's slim, in her 20s, and wears blue t-shirt and jeans. Robert lays down his gun. He opens the palms of his hands towards her. She nods at the stove.
I'm afraid the eggs are powdered. Obviously, you know that. They're yours. But I did find bacon. I just have all the most fantastic thing in history. And some antibiotics in the bathroom. I put by your plate because your leg is okay, but it won't be for very long if you don't start a course soon.
Who are you?
She dishes up the breakfast.
I'm Anna, and that's Ethan.
She adds scrambled eggs to another plate.
You might get cold.
Robert stands watching Anna, who sets down the frying pan, then sits down at the table across from him.
It's okay. Go on.
Robert moves to the table. He sits down and repositions a glass of water and a mug in front of him before picking up a fork. He eats a couple of mouthfuls of egg without looking up. Anna looks across at Robert.
We came from Maryland. We heard your message on the radio. We were at the pier at noon. We waited all day. We're going to Vermont. To the survivors colony.
What?
In Bethel,
It's a safe zone.
There's no survivor's colony. There's no safe zones. Nothing happened the way it was supposed to happen. Nothing worked the way that it was supposed to work.
In the mountains, mm-hmm. There's a whole colony of people there who didn't get sick. Mm-hmm. The virus couldn't survive the cold. There's a whole...
He throws his plate.
Everybody's dead. Everybody is dead.
She pulls a gun. The boy stands beside her. Robert grimaces and shakes his head.
I need a minute, okay? Just... I was saving that bacon. I was saving it. I'm gonna go upstairs. All right, just let me go.
Robert holds his hands up, rises from the table and hobbles away under the watchful gaze of Anna and Ethan. Anna turns to Ethan, who's at her side.
Ethan, put the knife down.
He does so. Robert sits on the edge of the bath, staring into space. He turns his head to one side. Leaning heavily on the wooden banister, Robert makes his way back downstairs and enters the living room, where Ethan is watching Shrek.
You there! Olga!
Aye?
By the order of Lord Farquaad, I am authorized to place you both under arrest and transport you to a designated...
Anna comes into the living room, and Ethan turns towards Robert.
You and what army?
Robert and Anna stare at each other. Robert's attention turns to the TV.
There's something to you.
Listen,
you was really something back there.
Incredible. Are you talking to
me? Yes, I was talking to you.
Can I just tell you that you was really great back then?
Those gods, they thought it was all that. Then you showed up and bam, they were tripping over themselves like babes in the woods. See that? That really made me feel good to see that. That's great. Man, it's good to be free. Now, why don't you go celebrate your freedom with your own friends?
Hmm?
But I don't have any friends. And I'm not going out there by myself. Hey, Winner, I got a great idea. I'll stick with you.
Ethan and Anna stare bewildered at Robert. Anna walks out of the room. To Ethan.
I like Shrek.
That was really scary. And if you don't mind me saying, if that don't work, your breath certainly will get the job done, because you definitely need some...
Robert, his brow still furrowed, attempts a smile. He hobbles through to the kitchen. Anna is sitting at the table writing.
You're not so good with people anymore, are you?
Robert sits down beside her.
Thank you for my leg.
Okay.
Where have you been?
I was on a Red Cross evacuation ship out of São Paulo.
Those boats weren't meant to be permanent.
No, they weren't. And the Navy fell apart, we started docking to take on supplies. Someone picked it up on shore. Five of us were immune.
You said five.
The Dark Seekers got them. You are the Robert Neville, aren't you?
His head shaved and a stubbly growth on his chin, Robert glances at her, then turns away.
It's too late today. If you leave tomorrow at dawn, we can make it to Vermont in a straight shot. So if you
have... I'm not leaving. This is ground zero. This is my site. I'm not gonna let this happen. I can still fix this.
She looks steadily at him, then lowers her head. In his lab, the unconscious infected woman lies on a bed of ice. Robert, in his lab coat and glasses, is working nearby.
Whoa. You scared me.
Sorry. I called down twice.
Oh, thank you.
She hands him a mug, then notices the woman.
It's heavily sedated. Don't worry, it's safe.
I've never seen one so still. They're always biting.
Anna approaches the woman.
You think that can cure her?
No, this will almost certainly kill it, but it's possible by drastically reducing the body temperature, I can increase the compound's effectiveness.
She looks at a collage of photos of the infected on the wall.
Did all of them die?
Yes.
My God.
God didn't do this, Anna. We did.
Robert injects liquid into the drip tube.
Where can Ethan sleep?
Ethan lies sleeping on the couch. Robert walks in and picks him up. He holds him close and rubs his back. Ethan's head rests on Robert's shoulder.
He's heavy.
He carries Ethan upstairs. Anna follows. A Van Gogh painting of workers in a field hangs on the landing. Robert points to a door, and Anna goes and opens it. She walks into the room. Her eyes dart around inquiringly. It's Marley's room with her drawings on the walls and her toys lying around. Robert lays the sleeping Ethan on the bed and covers him with the duvet. Anna looks at a framed photo sitting on a chest of drawers. It shows Marley smiling sweetly and cuddling Sam as a puppy.
She's beautiful. What's her name?
Robert smiles fondly.
Marley. Her name was Marley.
It's a beautiful name.
In the living room.
Yeah, we named her after Bob Marley.
Who?
The singer.
Damien?
His father.
They stare at each other.
His father.
No.
She starts to smile.
Oh, that is unacceptable.
What?
He hobbles up to the hi-fi, picks up a CD case, and hands it to Anna.
Best album ever made.
He switches on the hi-fi.
You don't recognize that. Wow. He had this idea. It was kind of a virologist's idea. He believed that you could cure racism and hate, literally cure it, by injecting music and love into people's lives. One day he was scheduled to perform at a peace rally. Gunmen came to his house and shot him down. 2 days later, he walked out on that stage and sang. Somebody asked him why. He said, the people who are trying to make this world worse are not taking a day off. How can I? Light up the darkness.
Robert turns up the hi-fi and moves his head to the music. Robert secures the shutters. Anna follows him into the kitchen.
Come with us, Neville. To the colony.
He reaches up and pulls down the shutter.
There's no colony, Anna. Everything just fell apart. There's no evacuation
plan. You're
wrong.
There is a colony. I know, okay?
How do you know, Anna?
I just know.
How? I said, how do you know? How could you know?
God told me. He has a plan.
God told you?
Yes.
The God?
Yes. I know how this sounds.
It sounds crazy.
But something told me to turn on the radio. Something told me to come here.
My voice on the radio told you to come here, Anna.
You were trying to kill yourself last night, right?
Anna.
And I got here just in time to save your life.
Stop
you think that's a coincidence?
Just stop it.
He must have sent me here for a reason. No, the world is quieter now. You just have to listen. If we listen, we can hear God's plan.
God's plan?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about your God's plan. There were 6 billion people on Earth when the infection hit. KV had a 90% kill rate. That's 5.4 billion people dead, crashed and bled out dead. Less a 1% immunity. It left 12 million healthy people like you, me, and Ethan. The other 588 million turned into your dark seekers. And then they got hungry and they killed and fed on everybody. Everybody.
He points at her.
Every single person that you or I has ever known is dead!
He clenches his fists.
Dead! There is no God. There is no God.
Anna looks shaken. Robert looks round.
What is that? Was it still dark when you brought us home last night?
We're bleeding. There was light on the horizon.
Turn the light off. Turn it off.
He slides a hatch across and looks outside.
They followed us home.
Ethan. Anna runs upstairs. Outside in the gloom, scores of the infected run towards the house. Robert opens a panel and switches on several floodlights on stands, illuminating Washington Square. One of the infected climbs up one of the lamps, pushing it over. Shadows of the infected are cast on the arch as they run towards the house. Robert grabs a console and switches it on. A red light comes on. He crouches down and presses a button on the console. Smoke billows into the room. Outside, several car bombs go off, blowing up the infected. The room shakes. Robert covers his ears. Light streams through the gaps at the edge of the shutters. Robert peers outside. The streets are littered with fires and the dead.
Anna. Anna.
He clutches his head and hobbles to the stairs.
Anna.
He climbs the stairs.
Anna!
He walks along the landing and looks up to the next floor.
Anna!
He looks into a room. Bright light shines through a gap bent in the shutters. Furniture is overturned. Blood drips near the window. Robert frowns heavily. The alpha male knocks Robert off his feet, sinks his teeth into his neck and drags him across the floor. Robert throws him off, but the alpha male drags him into the study. The alpha male throws Robert across the room, pummels him, bites him and throws him again. The creature throws his head back, mouth agape. Robert grabs a screwdriver and stabs the alpha male. The alpha male grabs Robert and throws him down the stairs. The alpha male pulls out the screwdriver and leaps. Robert grabs a rifle from the umbrella stand and shoots. The alpha male sprints away, dodging bullets. Robert stands and aims into each of the rooms. He aims at a canister and shoots. The canister explodes and the alpha male is thrown into the hall. He leaps up several feet onto the banister and runs upstairs. Robert follows, shooting, as he hobbles from room to room. Robert goes to the gap in the shutters where the alpha male got in and looks out. His face is bathed in the golden light from a burning tree. He pulls the magazine from his rifle and drops the weapon.
Anna!
He goes upstairs to the next floor.
Anna!
Robert looks in a room with flowers painted on the walls, then goes along the landing. He peers into a bedroom. Hanging from the rafters, an infected male rips out a large hole in the ceiling. Robert sees Anna and Ethan hiding under a cabinet and puts his finger to his lips to shush them. The infected male rips out planks and plaster. Robert peers into the room. On a bedside table is a pistol. Sweat glistens on his forehead. Beneath the cabinet, Anna keeps hold of Ethan. The infected male hears, turns, and drops to the floor. Robert runs in, grabs the pistol, and shoots the male, who falls onto his back, mouth agape. Robert stands over the pale figure, who lies still. Ethan and Anna climb out.
Come on, come on. Are you okay? You all right? Are you all right? You okay?
Startled, they turn. Robert slides open a hatch and looks outside. By a burning car, the alpha male roars as more infected run past him.
Go to the lab.
Downstairs, go! Get to the lab! To the lab!
They run downstairs as the infected run to the building and climb up the walls. In the lab...
Get behind the plexi.
Anna and Ethan run to the screened-off section at the end of the lab. Anna unfastens the plexiglass screen. The infected clamber across the roof of the building. Robert secures the lab doors. Anna grabs Ethan.
No, it's okay, it's okay.
She sees the female.
Oh, my God.
On the top floor, the infected crash through the ceiling and run downstairs. Robert stares at the female on the bench. Her skin is a pale cream colour, and her breathing is slow and steady.
It's working.
Robert stares intensely at the monitor screen.
Neville. It's working.
The infected burst into the lab. Robert shuts the screen and they throw themselves against it.
Stop! 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 Look! I can save you! I can help you! You are sick and I can help! I can fix this! I can save everybody! I can fix everything!
The alpha male charges in, throwing the other infected aside. The alpha male headbutts the screen, cracking it. Robert aims a pistol.
Let me save you! Let me save you!
The alpha male's mouth gapes grotesquely as he continues to batter his head against the screen. Cracks spread out across the plexiglass. Robert recoils.
No, no!
The alpha male continues to throw himself at the screen, which crazes. Robert's face crumples and his eyes glaze. The cracks in the plexiglass have taken on the shape of a butterfly. He looks at Anna on the floor and notices a butterfly tattoo on her neck. She hugs Ethan. Robert's mouth gapes as he stares out at the infected. Robert grabs a syringe, sticks it in the female's arm, and draws some of her blood into a glass vial. Anna comes over.
What are you doing?
The cure is in her blood.
He moves a desk, revealing a low door.
Cole, shoot. It'll be safe. Ethan, get in.
Come on, get in. Get in.
Anna.
They get into an alcove. Robert puts the vial of blood in Anna's hand.
I think this is why you're here.
He frowns earnestly at her.
What are you doing?
I'm listening.
Neville, they're just running here. Come.
They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. Stay until dawn.
He shuts the alcove door and turns away. The alpha male continues to thrust his head and shoulders against the plexiglass, which is a mass of cracks. Robert opens a drawer and takes out a small colour photograph of Zoe and Marley, smiling. Robert smiles briefly. He glowers at the alpha male, then reaches to the back of the drawer and takes out a hand grenade. Battered and bloody, Robert stands looking through the screen, heavy-browed. The alpha male charges and hammers his face against the plexiglass. It breaks. Robert holds up the grenade. He pulls the pin. The alpha male and the other infected start to back away. The alpha male charges, and Robert runs at him. The grenade explodes, and they're consumed in a golden ball of fire. A lush forest canopy of green, orange, and yellow leaves. Anna drives a 4x4 with a roof rack laden with luggage along a forest road. Ethan sits next to her, dozing. Anna slows up and stops. Anna and Ethan get out of the vehicle. They walk ahead, slowly and cautiously, looking around. They approach a pair of dark steel doors in a high wall. White lights blink in horizontal slits in the doors. The doors are opened by two uniformed men. Anna and Ethan walk towards a village. A smile spreads across Anna's face. She shakes hands with a man and hands him the vial of blood Robert took from the female.
In 2009, a deadly virus burned through our civilization, pushing humankind to the edge of extinction. Dr. Robert Neville dedicated his life to the discovery of a cure and the restoration of humanity. On September 9th, 2012, at approximately 8:49 p.m., he discovered that cure. And at 8:52, he gave his life to defend it. We are his legacy. This is his legend. Light up the darkness.
ITFC audio description was voiced by Helen Vasey. Directed by Francis Lawrence. Screenplay by Mark Protasevich and Akiva Goldsman. Based on the screenplay by John William and Joyce H. Corrington. Based on the novel by Richard Matheson. Produced by Akiva Goldsman. Produced by James Lasseter. Produced by David Heyman, Neil Moritz. Executive producer Michael Tadros. Executive producers Owen Stoff, Dana Goldberg and Bruce Berman. Director of photography, Andrew Lesney, ACS, ASC. Production designer, Naomi Shohan. Edited by Wayne Vorman, ACE. Casting by Kathleen Chopin, CSA. Co-producer Tracy Torm. Costumes designed by Michael Kaplan. Music by James Newton Howard. Visual effects supervisor Yannick Sears. Co-producer Jeffrey J.P. Wetzel. Unit production managers Justin Morritt, Michael Tadros. First assistant director Jeffrey J.P. Wetzel. Second assistant director Peter Soldo. Cast: Robert Neville, Will Smith. Anna, Alice Braga. Ethan, Charlie Tahan. Zoe, Sally Richardson. Marley, Willow Smith. Mike, military escort, Daryl Foster. TV personality, April Grace. Alpha male, Dash Mihok. Alpha female, Joanna Numata. Sam, Abby and Kona. Military driver, J. Samuel Glenn. Male evacuee, James McCauley. Woman evacuee, Marin Island. Sergeant, Pedro Majica. Evacuation cop, Anthony Mazza. Military police, Steve Serbus. Little girl evacuees, Calista Hill, Gabriella Hill, Madeline Hill. Military scanning tech, Adhi Sharma. Evacuation cop 2, Tyree Simpson. Coast Guard ground crew, Blake Lange. Male evacuee 2, Alexander DePersia. Male evacuee 3, Abraham Sparrow. President, Patrick Fraley. Special blonde model, Caitlin McHugh. Civilian, Deborah Collins. Creature vocals, Michael A. Patton. Infected. Exo, Catherine Brooke, Vince Cuponi. Lynar Davis, Anika Ellis, John Grady, Moses Harris Jr., Kenneth Hawkins, Mark Innes, Eric Jenkins. Reed Kelly, Grassan Kingsbury, Heather Lang, Drew Leary, Asa Liebman, Deborah Losey, John Paul Mateo, Ian McLaughlin, Luke Miller, Courtney Munch, Kimberly Shannon Murphy. Okwe Okpokwazili, Erin Owen, Victor Paglia, Paradox Pollock, Will Rawls, William Schultz, Holly K. Seidel, Hannah Sim, Eric Spear, Mark Steger, Charlie Sutton, David Hamilton Thompson, Anthony Vincent, Greg Watkiss. Three Little Birds, written by Bob Marley, performed by Bob Marley and the Wailers, courtesy of the Island Def Jam Music Group, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Flying Talking Donkey from Shrek, written by Harry Gregson-Williams and John Powell, courtesy of DreamWorks Animation, LLC. I Shot the Sheriff, written by Bob Marley. Stir It Up, written by Bob Marley, performed by Bob Marley and the Wailers, courtesy of the Island Def Jam Music Group, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Redemption Song, written by Bob Marley, performed by Bob Marley and the Wailers, courtesy of the Island Def Jam Music Group, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Score recorded and mixed by Alan Mayerson, Joel Iwataki, Eddie Delaina. Score recorded at Sony Scoring Stage, Henson Recording Studios, Fox Scoring Stage. Score mixed at Remote Control Studios. Corbis. The NYPD and FDNY name, logos and insignia are trademarks of the City of New York and are used with the city's permission, Green Lantern, TM, Teen Titans, TM, and copyright DC Comics. All rights reserved. Used with permission. Shrek. Recording and copyright 2001 DreamWorks Animation, LLC. Used with permission of DreamWorks Animation, LLC. NBC News Archives. Special thanks. Philip Strub, Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Siner, U.S. Army, Department of Defense Project Officer and Military Technical Advisor. 1st Battalion, 69th Infantry, New York Army National Guard. 1st Battalion, 258th Field Artillery, New York Army National Guard. 3rd, 142nd Aviation, New York Army National Guard. New York State Governor's Office for Motion Picture and Television Development. NYC Mayor's Office of Film, Theatre and Broadcasting Made in NY Incentive Program. Mayor of New York City. NYPD Movie and TV Unit. NYPD Chief of Transportation. University of California at San Francisco. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In appreciation for support provided by the United States Coast Guard, Patricia Miller, United States Coast Guard Assistant Chief of Public Affairs. Commander Kevin E. Raymer, United States Coast Guard, USCG Project Officer and Military Technical Advisor. Special thanks to the men and women of the following U.S. Coast Guard units. USCG, District 1. USCG, Sector, New York. USCG, Air Station, Atlantic City. USCG, VTS, New York. USCG, MSST, New York. USCG, Station, New York. USCGC, Grand Isle. USCGC, Bainbridge Isle. USCG, Paddett, New York. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. AHA 01613. Filmed with Panavision cameras and lenses, color by Technicolor. Kodak Motion Picture Products, Fujifilm Motion Picture Products. The logos for Dolby Digital, DTS Digital, and SDDS. Approved number 43988, Motion Picture Association of America. The logo for IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. This motion picture, copyright 2007 Warner Brothers Entertainment Inc., US, Canada, Bahamas and Bermuda. Copyright 2007 Village Roadshow Films BVI Limited. All other territories. Screenplay, copyright 2007 Warner Brothers Entertainment Inc., US, Canada, Bahamas and Bermuda. Copyright 2007 Village Roadshow Films BVI Limited. All other territories. Original score, copyright 2007 Warner Olive Music, LLC. All material is protected by copyright laws of the United States and all countries throughout the world, all rights reserved. Country of first publication, United States of America. WV Films IV is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or copying of this film or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. The story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. www.warnerbros.com